my broom, and this is the Hoodoo Part 2 episode. And before we get into that, I just want to speak the name of Ahmaud Arbery, who is a black man, who was a black man of 25, who was jogging because he wanted to stay active in late February, and was hunted and gunned down by two white men by the name of Gregory and Travis McMichael, father and son. Gregory was an ex-police detective and police officer, and their excuse was that they had a few break-ins somewhere in the neighborhoods, and then they thought that this black man jogging, I don't even care what the excuse was, I don't give a shit anymore. I don't even want to let my anger get the best of me here, because here I just want to honor Ahmaud Arbery, who was 25 years old, a baby, somebody's baby. And the two men have not been arrested. They've been sleeping in their beds, happy, as always, with their guns, while this young man, who didn't even get to finish his life, is in a casket somewhere, and his family is grieving in this already hard time. And so I just want to speak his name. May he rest in power. May the ancestors welcome him. I just don't know how much more of this we as a people can take, that our life and everywhere in Europe, in the United States, in Africa, whatever, our lives are usually just... Okay, I'm not gonna let my anger get the best of me, but how much more of this can we take? Because every time this happens, it feels like it happens to me, feels like it happens to my family. I have two brothers in the United States around that age. My little brother is 25, and the other one is 18. They look huge. They look threatening to some people, but they are very nice kids. They play basketball, they play football, and they're not dangerous. But every time I think that somewhere, like, I don't know, because they both drive now, and his taillight could be broken, whatever, and then a police officer might stop him and then just say, oh, he had a gun, or he seemed threatening, because they're big guys, and then shoot them every day. I'm scared that my mom would call me and be like, oh, your brother was shot. So yeah, another one. This one, it particularly took me because he was just jogging. And with everything that's happening right now, with the coronavirus in the United States and in Europe, and how 80% of the patients that are dying are African-American, they are poor, they are minorities. Before it was all blaming on their health and stuff like that, but then the healthcare system in the U.S. for minorities is really shit. But not only that, they don't get that the minorities are the ones working all the essential jobs, postal carriers, nurses, doctors, all those things, and they go home and they have people or family members with underlying conditions, and they don't have big mansions or houses to put themselves in a quarantine and isolate themselves, like people are saying. They go home and then they infect each other and then they pass away, especially when you're poor and when you're brown in the United States and in Belgium and in Europe. And pretty much, you've seen already what's happening in China. People being thrown out, black people being thrown out of their hotels, and they have to sleep on the street and they can't go home because the borders are closed. So, yeah, so this was a rant because I can't. I don't know how much of this we're going to have to take. I know that I'm not taking shit anymore from anything. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I just want to speak his name again. His name was Ahmaud Arbery, and he was 25 years old. And may he rest in power. May he rest in peace. So I am definitely back and collected, and I'm sorry about that if you got emotional, and I got emotional, I'm so sorry, but yeah. So we're going to continue on with water, and talking about water, I just made this amazing lemonade with turmeric, apple cider vinegar, and rose water. It smells good, and it tastes good, and it's just so good for you. And so since today the topic is about water, I thought I was gonna drink that to give me some magical inspiration. So yeah, I shouldn't have drank on the microphone. So I want you to think about water in the physical sense. What does water do? Think about it for a second, and then let's go. So water for me, it quenches my thirst. It gives me a refreshment on a hot summer day. It makes my plants grow because I have lots of plants. It cleans my house. It cleans me. And I can maybe find something dirty and old, and I would wash it and it will become new again. That's what water means to me. And I lived in Florida. Water can also definitely drown me. I used to be scared of drowning. I still am, I think, scared of drowning. I think that's my worst fear. I want to die anyway, but to be drowned. Like, I don't want to die underwater. I don't know where that fear comes from. I might have to dig deep into it. But, oh yeah, I kind of dug deep into it with the Jungian philosophy and psychology. But that's going to be another topic for another day. So, let's go back to water. So it can like flood entire cities. It can drown people. It can also rot. So, for example, if I like overwater my plants, the root will rot, and then, you know, my whole plant will die. Actually, you can destroy a plant easier by overwatering than by underwatering. Just so you know. So, in duality and polarity is a very common concept in nature. Water is one element, but with two opposite poles. Another example of like opposite poles is love and hate. We have a tendency to think that those are two different things, and when they're in fact opposite poles, like the same thing, but opposite poles, you know? So, but then, okay, the whole thing about duality and magic and polarity is a whole nother concept that needs its own episode as well, so I will not get into it. But just so you know, water is life. Water can also be destruction. But then, how do you use that water, and how can you make that water work for you? This is why we're here today. And in Hoodoo and in African traditions and in a lot of other spiritual paths, water is very, very important to make elixirs, potions, oils. So I'm talking about liquids. So meaning also lipids, you know, so oils and things like that. So talking about water, elixirs, I'm talking about bodily fluids. And in Hoodoo, yes, unless you like, I really hope you have a strong stomach, otherwise Hoodoo is not for you. But you know, I'm not going to judge. Like, you can decide to omit that part, but there's a good reason why in Hoodoo and in a lot of other traditional paths as well, we use bodily fluids. So, but we're going to get to that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Before we start, I'm going to ask you, after this episode is gone, the first thing you're going to have to do is collect jars and containers for your little bottles. What I usually do, I just recuperate everything that I've bought. So if I have like a mayonnaise jar, I finish it, I wash it, and then I keep it. Don't become a hoarder either. Less is always more. But if you have, instead of throwing away bottles that you have or whatever, you can just reuse them for your elixirs, for your potions, for the water you've collected. Okay, so that's one thing. You will also need a book. I should have said that the first episode, but you do need kind of like a, Europeans will call it a book of shadows, but I'm just gonna call it like a notebook, because my book of shadows, I write everything in it, my thoughts, my dreams, my whatever, but then my recipes, especially my recipes. And if a spell works for you, you really want to write it down, because if it did work, you want to have the exact same conditions and formula for it to work again, you know? Because if you're really, really precise in your magic, it can be recreated over and over again. Okay, but then precision is key. You need to know about, you know, correspondence and days and things like that, you know. So also, you also need, apart from the booklet, you need labels, like any kind of stickers or whatever that you can put on your bottles. You know, you can buy them anywhere, or you can make them yourself, just some glue and some paper. So yeah. Now, after that, after you've collected, you're going to have to go outside and start, or look everywhere around you and start identifying your water sources. So those are all around you. And if you live in a rural area, I'm sure you have a spring or some running water somewhere. So I'm going to say this once again, always use running water. What does that mean? Water that is going somewhere. Water that has a cycle. Do not collect stagnant water from a pond or from a lake, you know, water that just doesn't move. So you need water that replenish, that goes somewhere. I don't know how to say this, but yeah, ponds are usually just stagnant water, and you know, that's not really some water you want, you know what I mean? So good examples of running water is rainwater. Collecting rainwater is amazing. If you live in a rainy country, just put some pots and pans outside and you just collect that water. You can collect storm water. You can also make lightning water. And I'm going to write down a recipe. Let me write it down that I need to write down. A recipe for lightning water. Get my notes. Notes. Recipe for lightning water. Okay, we got it. Okay, so you can also collect tears. Yes, that's what I was talking about. Bodily fluids, you know, tears, sweat, you know, blood. But you don't need to kill anyone to get blood or whatever. If you're a woman, you can definitely get your period blood with a period cup. But then, you know, do what feels right for you. Okay? If you wake up early, if you're like a big early riser and you like to go in nature. What is all this noise? So much noise outside. If you like to go in nature, collect morning dew in the morning from flowers and stuff. This is actually great for beauty spells, you know, morning dew. Rejuvenating spells, if you want to look a bit younger, you want to look cuter, so there you go. And don't forget to label all of the water you've collected. Let's talk about the basic words that you will encounter, the basic things that you will need to know in order to use the water. So when you do a spell, you will have motions or actions that you need to do with water. That are pretty much universal to most practitioners. You have the throwaway and the downward motions. For example, the throwaway motion is when you're cleaning something. For example, you can do it with dust, but usually with water is great. When you're cleaning your house, for example, you will start from the inside of your house, and then you will work your way to the outside door. When you that's where you finish cleaning, and then with the motion of like the broom or the raclette, I don't know how to say that in English, actually. Raclette. I've only seen that here. I've never seen it in the US. So, yeah. Just throw away, like with the mop or whatever, throw away the water outside. So you make like a throwaway outside motion, and then with that water that is left, you throw it away somewhere. We live in the city in apartments, so the best thing you could do is maybe throw it under a tree somewhere outside, but if that's too risky, throw it in your toilet, you know, just outward. So that means that you will start cleaning from the inside, and you will go make your way to the toilet, and then you will just throw away the water there. So throwing away is getting rid of negativity, energy, bad energies and bad things like that. So throwing away something is always good. The downward motion usually comes when you're like washing something, washing your clothes, washing your body. Usually when washing your body. So you're rubbing the water, you're like washing yourself, and then you take the water and you just kind of like push it down your body, push it down your legs, push it down your arms, your face. And so it goes down the drain, you know, in a downward motion. That means you're getting rid of all the negativity. Okay? So so you have the clockwise motion as well. And so the clockwise and counterclockwise motion is like when you drink water, when you drink tea or a brew or any kind of like potion, with the spoon, you pour yourself the glass, and then you recite your incantation. If it's an incantation to make something come to you, then you will go clockwise, you know, bring something to you. If it's an incantation to put something away from you, you know, to bad energies, bad spirits or whatever, you go counterclockwise while you recite, and then you drink. Okay, so those are very cool. You also have like submerging yourself, or submerging, for example, a mojo bag into the water that you've created, or yourself into a bath. That's when you really want all the energies from the components in that bath and in that mojo bag to like stick to you. So you would pretty much put your whole body and your whole head and everything into the bath. Think of it as a baptism, you know? So you have also incantations, spells, and conjuration. You can either write your own spells, which I definitely recommend, you know, write them in a language you understand. So, for example, like right now, there's this big trend of people saying period, like period, you know, like, and you can actually end your spells with period, like period, that's what I said, that's what I mean, yeah, like, yes, you know, it was something like that. You can definitely end your spells like that, because it means something to you, it means, and so if it means something to you, it has much more power than if it doesn't. So I'm not going to recommend you to, like, speak Latin or whatever, just because it sounds nice, because then you're going to have to split your brain in two, the brain that is trying to, like, remember the Latin, and then the other brain that is trying to make something happen. So you need to be completely focused. So no need to be overly complicated in your spells. Really write in what you know. And of course, as you keep on, you know, writing spells, they will become prettier. They will become more like poetry. They will flow better in your mouth. And also, you know, like, read a lot, and you will get a lot more repertoire of words in your head. So, you know, that's just you know, how to write your own spells. I might have to do another episode about this, about writing spells, because creating spells in any practice is very, very important, because you have so many things to think about the days of correspondence, about the colors, about candles, about which spell is good for what, you know. Like, do you have to burn candles for this one, or do you have to, like, bury a bottle for this one, or do you have to, you know, which instance is good for this, and which day is good for this, which planet rules this, which metal? So that's a lot, you know. This should be like a whole spell writing class, I think, that I'll have to do. Not a series, but just one episode of, like, how to write a spell. So, yeah. I hope, yeah. And also, yeah, in hoodoo practice, they use a lot of the Bible, especially the Book of Psalms. In the first documents for the first episode, I did write a psalm, Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, etc., etc., and I did recite it. I understand why our ancestors gravitated towards that book. I used to be Christian myself, and I know that a lot of, I didn't agree with a lot of the Bible and a lot of religion, but I did agree with the Psalms for some reason. They're just so powerful. They were written when David, King David, the one that defeated Goliath, was going through a rough time. I think he like lost a child because he was being a trifling ass nigga, but but he lost a child, this is sad. He was in a really bad place and was pleading to God, but then also he trusted God, and you know, God did deliver him and pretty much made his lineage even greater than ever expected, you know, but did show him a lesson anyway. But then this whole time during the Psalms, David still had faith that God would come through, and he did. And so the Psalms are just so beautiful because they, you know, they keep praising God in a time where everything seems lost. And I think that's how a lot of our ancestors, especially those who were enslaved, took the Psalms. And even right now, Africans, my mom's book is a favorite book in the Bible, is the Psalms. Like, she's always talking about it. It's like when you're in a hardship, when you just look at your country going to shit and everything going to shit, like, that book is so comforting. Because of that, and because the power that people put into it, because another thing is, words are just words, papers are just papers, rocks are just rocks, for real. But like, the intention you put into them can make them a very, very powerful thing. So the Book of Psalms for me is very powerful because of so many people who believe in it, and then so many people who put their intentions and power into it. So there you go. But yeah, the Book of Psalms is used a lot. So you will also need, you have that. But you also need, like I said before, you need to be in sync with the universal and magical mathematics of things. It sounds complicated, but after a while, it will become super intuitive. You need to know, like, which day is better for your spell. You need to know which planet, numerology, correspondence, the number one, what does it mean, number two, number seven, whatever, what it means. For example, good example for love, love spells are usually performed on Fridays, because Fridays, and also on a waxing moon, because when you're doing a love spell, unless you're trying to break up a couple, which I do not recommend, unless you're trying to, I don't know, you know, don't do that. But if you want to bring love to you, Fridays are usually a good day. Why? Because Friday is associated with the planet Venus, which is, you know, love. And, you know, you would use copper in those instances. Maybe you wear copper, use copper coins if you want to bury something, if you, you know. And this, actually, you will find it across most spiritual paths. You will go to India and they'll be like, yeah, I use copper on a Friday, da 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 da. You go to Israel and they'll be like, yeah, we use copper on a Friday, especially for like Kabbalistic practices and stuff like that. So in Solomonic magic, which I dabbled into a little bit, they also used, you know, Venus as a correspondence to Friday with copper and things like that, just for love, you know. And so those things, they don't come right away, but after a while it just becomes intuitive. You just know that, you know, for protection you will be like on a Tuesday, Thursday, but then Jupiter, and da, da, da. If you learn, the more you learn about every culture, the more it makes sense to you. And I have a theory why that is, but we're gonna also have another episode about this, actually. Oh, let me get down the metronome. So yeah, we're going to have another episode about this, because correspondence and just the link between all practices around the world can be traced back to one person? No. God? No. I don't know what to say. His name was... they named him in European in Greek way. So his name is Hermes Hermes something. Where is he? Where? So it just means Hermes thrice the great, so three times the great. And it's actually not Hermes, because it's actually the god, the Egyptian god Thoth, and then like the Greeks brought him to Greece, and then associated him with the Greek god Hermes, the god of Mercury, and the god of knowledge and things like that. But actually, Hermes is Thoth, the Greek god, the Egyptian god of wisdom and mathematics and occult science, magic and things like that. So, and everything that we have in this world, like this was even before Judaism, before everything else. And I think I might have to do, and he's the father of alchemy. He's also the father of chemistry, and he's the father of magic pretty much. And all of those things that religions are using now can be traced all the way up to him. And I need to do a series maybe on that, because it's called Hermetic Principles and Hermetic Magic. It is known as, let's see, if Wicca is elementary school, if all this, if hoodoo is like college, Hermetic Magic is a doctorate. It's a university's PhD. It's master's, you know? And so this is what I'm kind of studying right now. And you have to go up in the ladder, but then once you get to like Hermetic Magic, Solomonic Magic, and things like that, everything starts to make lots of sense, you know? Because I feel like with hoodoo, Wicca, or whatever, we're just getting like little parts here and there. And since all of those things are attached to cultures and people, you can never just get everything, you know? You get little bits and pieces. But then when you go up to Hermetic and Solomonic Magic and Kabbalistic Magic, you start to see that, oh, wow, this is actually a science. You know, this is not just a game. So, yeah. But we will get back to that another day. Whew. So holy water in hoodoo is used. I do not use that. Yeah, you can also use hoodoo water, and I'm against it. I know that hoodoo borrows from many practices and even from Christianity, but if I did not feel the power of the Book of Psalms, I would recommend conjure practitioners to reject everything from Christianity and it's this oppressive ass religion. And also, like, the Book of Psalms was written way before Christianity, so I think that's why I have but even though the Bible is problematic as fuck, but still, holy water that most practitioners use, they usually get it from churches, or they get it from, like, you know, a priest, or places where, like, the Virgin Mary has appeared, like in France, in Lourdes. Like, no, I don't agree with any of this, because Christianity was a religion to oppress people like me and people of color and things like that. And I don't regard the Catholic Church, especially today, in a high esteem. You know, I don't think that they're holy men, if you know what I mean. So, but by all means, if you need to know, you can definitely Google holy water in hoodoo and how you could use it. But I am not going to promote it here on my podcast. So we talked about that last time, the power of the color red. And so here, I don't know if you've ever been in the south of the United States. Maybe you haven't. But in the south, especially near Louisiana, Alabama, and things like that, you will see a lot of, like, trees with blue bottles on them. And these bottles, these trees, bottle trees, they are usually to catch bad spirits, or they have bad spirits inside, and they're just put out. And the color blue, it's really a color that people use for protection. You know, correspondence-wise, people associate the color blue with the calmness of the ocean and things like that, and also protection, you know. So the color red, like we talked about, was an Africanism, but the color blue isn't. It's pretty much, it's used everywhere. I don't, like, blue can be associated with the deities such as Oya and Yemoja. Depending on which system you believe, blue is also associated to one of your deities. If you believe, I don't know, like Poseidon has blue, the Virgin Mary has blue as well. So it really depends on which system you choose to believe. When you use blue in a spell, you usually want peace. So you, so it takes, so it's great to take away curses and hexes, the evil eye, the Muslim evil eye, to ward off the evil eye, the Muslim eye, to ward off the evil eye, is usually like a little round thing with dark blue, light blue, and white, and then another dot inside. And yeah, in most practices, blue is used for that color. And the correspondence are seriously infinite, you know. Now, you need blue water, right? And blue water, how to make blue water. Our ancestors actually used to use copper sulfate. So, and they called it bluestone. And we came to know that it is toxic. But I'll have to ask my mom and my relatives in Africa, because a lot of people over there use bluestone in their practices, and we don't have cancer like they do here in the West. So this kind of thing sometimes make me paranoid, but I'm not one to jump into conspiracy theories, you know. So I have to do my research on this. Because I feel like, especially now with like Big Pharma and things like that, I feel like they are really trying to sell us their medicine and try to vilify every other kind of medicine. And I'm not talking about like people selling silver and saying that it protects you from werewolves or whatever. No, I'm talking about like real ancestral medicine that actually do work because it is scientifically proven. What those pharmaceutical companies are doing are taking the components from those plants and herbs, synthesizing them, and then selling them at a higher price and making profit out of it, when the same plant can just be used as a tea, you know, from your grandmother or something, and heal you completely. So I need to check about the blue stone being toxic. I'm sure it probably is. I'm not trying to bring you guys into some kind of conspiracy theory. So yeah, but I'm gonna have to check it. So that's toxic for now, and I will not tell you to use it at all. Okay. So you can also buy on the internet Mexican anil balls. Those are blue balls, like with indigo or something like that. You can buy them on the internet everywhere, and you can, you know, turn your water blue. But I have my own system, and I'm going to tell you. So I make small bat bombs, and I got the recipe. I mean, I know how to make it because I used to work at Lush at some point in my life. So yeah, and also since I can make the bat bombs, I can control what goes into them. I can make them smell good. I can put herbs and protection oils and things like that into them. And so yeah, in the documents I will give a recipe for a small bat bomb that you can make to turn any water blue. You can put the blue water, for example, outside of your house for protection, to chase away evil spirits. You can put them under the bed for children, especially, you know, if they have nightmares and things like that. You have to keep it under the bed for about 6 days, and then replenish it as you see fit. Of course, you can take a bath with the blue, a cleanse, and also, which is good with the bat bombs, you really can just soak into the water with some blue water and you know, and feel at peace and things like that. So, and put whatever you want into it. You can put lavender and feel at peace. You know, release yourself of bad energy. So, in other fluids that we use, is the other fluid that we use is cologne and colognes, and I don't use them. I make my own colognes. But hoodoo practitioners have two types of cologne they like to use. Hoyt's cologne, developed in 1868, and it is used to like draw success and love and luck and all the good things. And then you have Jockey Club, introduced in 1840, and usually for luck in gambling. I, for one, I don't use all that for many, many reasons. They were created by white people, etc. And for me, this signifies like ascension, envy from black people wanting to be as successful as the whites, therefore using their products and thinking that, you know, gambling might bring them freedom instead of actually fighting for freedom. And there is a lot of that, you know, for me, or in African American lingo, we call that coonery. Like, you know, it's a lot to unpack. But if you want to use the cologne, you can definitely order them online. I make my own scents. See as you do fit, and see as you do fit. Do as you see fit. My fucking gosh, what's going on with me? But yeah, I make my own scents, and you know, it's better for you to do that. Those scents can be used to feed your mojo bag, to wear when you want a special, you know, you have like a scent for love and a scent for luck and da da da. If you go to a job interview, you can feed your lucky mojo bag with that scent, or you can put it around your pressure points. I mean, on your pressure points and things like that, so you can smell good and activate yourself. Then you have the waters, like the ones you actually buy. They probably were made by white people too, but I swear by them. I love them. Everybody uses them. We love them. So we have Kananga water, we have Chinese wash, and we have Florida water. I love those things. Kananga water is actually has a very complicated etymology for me. It smells like the wonderful ylang ylang flower, and it was made by the British in Jamaica. And it is used in spiritual practices by the African diaspora all around the world. It is used in Santeria, Candomblé, and many spiritual, like, you know, voodoo and all that stuff. Kananga odora with a C is the Latin name of, well, the species name of ylang ylang. The word apparently comes from Indonesia, so Kananga, which means ylang ylang. I really don't believe that. Because it's funny, it was made, you know, in Jamaica by, well, they say the British in Jamaica, but none of the white people use it. Only, like, the practitioners use it over there. So, like, the people of color use it. And it's called Kananga water. And a lot of, like, words from Africa stayed in the diaspora, especially when you talk about, like, the Caribbeans and, like, South America and things like that. Kananga, and thank God I'm Congolese, because that means that I can, like, things that European or American historians or whatever might miss, if you're, like, if you were raised in both worlds, you can piece it, you can piece everything together. Kananga is actually a region in Congo, in the Republic Democratic of Congo, and that region has a lot of rivers, and Kananga water is not spelled with a C like in Indonesia. It spells with a K. It's spelled exactly like the region of Kananga. So, you know, when you go on Wikipedia and you look at the etymology and it's telling you, like, yeah, it just means, you know, Kananga because that's the genus and blah, blah, blah. Like, some European whatever guy went in there and I don't know what they did, but for me, Kananga water was kind of like remnants of the people of Kananga that were enslaved and then brought to Jamaica or anywhere else in the Americas. So yeah, but take it with a grain of salt. I'm not here to like change reality or whatever. I'm just saying it's spelled with a K, kind of like in Africa. It's not spelled with a C, but okay, whatever you want. So yeah, in the documents, I'm going to put like the three types of like waters, and you can definitely order them anywhere. I order them online, or I used to go to Matonge here in Belgium and get my Florida water, but everything is closed. So yeah, I can't anymore. So now let's move to the more serious stuff. And if you have a weak stomach, maybe pass on this part, or maybe hoodoo is not for you, okay? But do as you see fit, whatever. No judgment, so let's start. Let's talk about bodily fluids. So our scent have been scientifically proven to have effect on mood and how we choose a mate. You know that if you have an aversion to someone's natural smell, it usually means that they are so close genetically to you, they're so close to you genetically speaking, that your offspring might have a lot of health issues. Have you ever had like a guy where you're like, oh, he's so cute, he's so beautiful, but then like his smell, his natural smell, would just be like, ugh, you know, or a girl actually, a girl or anyone or whatever, you know, you smell them and be like, ugh, like. Everything about you is perfect, but I just can't stand your smell. And usually when a guy or anyone doesn't smell good to me, everything about them becomes ugly to me, you know? And this is actually just nature telling you, nope, this is not for you. He's not for you. And we should just listen to our bodies and things like that and not force it. Okay? This is him. So as a woman, for example, you release scents when you're ovulating to let men know it is time. And usually when you're ovulating, you also look way beautiful, way more beautiful, and then you smell different usually. And so all of our natural secretions have a purpose and a divine correspondence. We as humans have more concentrated scent glands on our skins than most animals do. So yeah. And also, like, fluids that are captured during a specific time will serve, like, a specific purpose. For example, when you sweat, if you capture, like, the sweat you have when you ovulate or whatever, you can use that sweat when you're not ovulating and use it in your perfume or whatever, so you can always smell attractive to attract mates and things like that. So you can, you can draw blood, you can, but then, yeah, you don't have to, like, kill anyone to get blood, like, you know, like I said before, you don't have to do any of those things. Oops, my microphone. Yeah, so you don't have to do any of those things, but, yeah, just know that bodily fluids and things like that are very, very, very powerful for any kind of spells, you know, hair, nails, all that stuff. So, yeah, here we went through. It was shorter than I expected. I'm so happy. So I will attach a list of herbs that you should definitely start gardening now. Especially now, like, you know, it's summer and things like that. Start a little. I have a balcony and that's it. So I don't have a garden or anything, but I have lots of plants in my house that I plant. I have herbs and things, and those come in really, really handy. It's really great when you take care of your own plants. When you take care of plants, you really start see the cycle of, like, from a seed to a plant, and how they die and then give way to, and it makes you way more in tune with nature. It is just so, so magical to take care of your own garden. I will put also recipes for bottles, baths and washes you can use, you know, using water and things like that. So also another kind of news, not really news. I was hacked last year around December, and my Apple ID contained my the account in which my podcast is streaming on Apple Podcasts. And now I have another Apple ID. But when I'm publishing, because I publish on SoundCloud, when I'm publishing, it still goes to that other Apple ID. I'm going to be changing platforms now. I'm going to go to Anchor. And I don't know if I can get back my my other podcast, or I will have to change it completely. And maybe on Apple Podcasts, I will have to change the name. Not on SoundCloud, not anything else, but if you're using Apple Podcasts, I might have to change the name or put like Get Off My Broom 2, because with Apple IDs, you cannot just delete things like that. You know, since someone else took my password and things like that, I cannot go back into my podcast. So yeah. Maybe I will let you guys know on Facebook, on Instagram about this, if there's going to be any change. But thank you so much for listening, and I will see you on next week for menstrual blood part 2. And hopefully I can do that on Sunday, so you can have a Monday, so I can post twice a week. So we will see how that works. Thank you again so much for listening, and I will see you next week. Bye.